gifts of the Spirit. And do you recall that I told you that looking toward the day of Pentecost, that I like to minister on the Holy Spirit. And I like for us to set ourselves afresh and anew to embrace everything that the Holy Spirit has come for, all that He will do for us, and to expose the lies of the enemy that keeps us from knowing the truth. Let me tell you something you'll find interesting. In 1910, only 5% of Christians in America were Pentecostal. Today, one out of every four, or 25% of Christians in America, are Pentecostal charismatic. 1/4, 25%, that from 5% in such a short period of time. In Guatemala, that figure is 50%. 50% of the Christians. And in Guatemala, and 56% in Kenya, and 58% in South Korea, and 44% in the Philippines. It's the fastest growing movement in the world. It has more adherents than any movement in the world except the Catholics. Imagine this. You know, people sometimes refer to Methodist, Baptist, traditional denominations as mainline churches, but they're not. Charismatic Pentecostal is the mainline. Who has the most is the main. Who has the most influence, who has the most, that most people identify with, is the ones that are most empowered. Charismatic Pentecostal churches have the largest number of members in the world, second only to Catholics. I read an interesting article answering the question, why this great increase and change? And it's really, you know, since 1970, when the charismatic movement began, the figure was very low, and it very quickly, after 1970, rose to the percentage that it is today. And this writer was asking the question, why are people drawn to the Pentecostal charismatic movement? And these are the reasons that he gave. Because the Pentecostal charismatics have a sense of mission. They feel everyone should know and experience what they have. We know what, in other words, we have a destiny. We know what we're about. We're not just going to church because mom and daddy said that we should. But we have our own faith and power in the Holy Ghost. Secondly, people want to feel they can hear from God and experience Him really. Not just as some force who sometimes makes us feel good or gives us a little insight. But according to some of the things I'm going to share with you today, the gifts of the Holy Spirit put you in direct contact with the Holy Spirit as God speaks both to you and through you. And people are finding more and more, if you're going to go on with the religion thing, it may as well be tangible and real and powerful and feelable. People want to feel they can hear from God and experience Him. And the gifts of the Spirit, especially healing, they say, meet a very important need. Tommy's just been talking to us about that. How would it be to be in a church that believes that God sometimes heals people? Or we don't know anything about healing, but we pray if it's His will to heal us. That doesn't work very well when you're desperate, and it's not very much comfort. But what's wonderful is to know that Jesus is our healer, and by His stripes we are healed. And they had statistics of how many people in these churches had seen healings. And oh, it was huge numbers and percentages of people. Very common, they said, to see people healed and to see miracles. Who wouldn't want this? They said they want to see God at work. I didn't know if I would see it in my lifetime come to the place where it has today. Actually, now, Christianity in general is on the wane in America. The American church has to wake up today. But in other countries, there has been a tremendous increase. As you heard some of the percentages that I read to you. But there's been a lot of teaching on the doctrine of the gifts of the Spirit. But there has been a disconnect between knowing the doctrine and experiencing the power. of flowing in the gifts. You could go into any Pentecostal or charismatic church and they can teach you the doctrine, but how much of it is really experienced? If this is what we are supposed to experience, then why aren't we experiencing it? It's because we don't have knowledge and understanding and revelation of what is ours and how we can have it. I listened to Jensen Franklin. You know Benjamin Franklin? He's a good friend of mine. I know him better than I know Jensen, really. How in the world? Is there a song about cobwebs in the brain? There ought to be. Jensen Franklin had this message today that he called the high cost of low enthusiasm. And he got really very preachy, you know. And at one point he said, I'm just on a rampage. He said, I see my son sitting here on the front row and he's going to go away to college. And does he know what I'm teaching today? Is it really he is? Now I've had this burden. You know, we teach this truth, but is it really ours? And we need to all have this, you know, and especially understanding that one of these articles says, but the Pentecostal charismatics are counting on their younger generation that they are raising up, even though they don't have as much experience, that they are going to be committed and that they're going to go forth with the message and that there's going to be a fresh move. And that's what I'm counting on. And that's why I want to cooperate with works that, what's her name, that has this wonderful ministry, Joan, we were reading about just recently, Karen Wheaton. And Karen Wheaton, some of our folks have been to her meetings, and the whole point is to inspire young people to lay hold of this thing and go forward. It has to happen. It has to happen because God wants a fresh move of the Spirit of God. Now, there's been a confusion as to how we can expect the spiritual gifts to be manifest. 1 Corinthians 12 and 14. Remember when I was teaching some other things on the Holy Spirit that I told you that John 14 and John 16, I wanted you to read those and study them because they will tell you all the things the Holy Spirit will do. And I've talked recently about how to really know Him. I talked last Sunday about how to listen to Him. But today I want us to understand what He wants to do through you and for you through the gifts of the Holy Spirit. He gives and flows the gifts of the Spirit. And 1 Corinthians 12 and 14 are the two chapters that give us clear teaching on how the gifts will be manifest and how they should be used. Now, in this church, we have been a Pentecostal charismatic church since the inception, 1973. But we weren't always that. We came. So when I talk to people, as I did talk to someone just recently, in the pool doing exercise, I talked to just the nicest woman and her daughter. But they were very interesting. When I mentioned the word anointing, she just went blank. Like, what in the world could that be? Because she was asking me, why is it that some people you can listen to and get hold of what they are saying, and other people it doesn't seem to strike home? And I said, well, the Holy Spirit anoints people to preach His word, and then it lives to them. Some people have the idea that in a church service it'd be normal to see all kinds of gifts of the Spirit in operation in any given service, but that's not really true. We do, the gifts do flow in this church, they do. And there are churches that they do flow, and there are churches that they don't really want them to flow. Although they call themselves charismatic or Pentecostal, they don't know what to do with it. They don't want to study and come before God to find out how to let everything, the Scripture says, let everything be done decently and in order. I mean, Paul talks about this. This is not just some modern radical person who has decided we ought to do these things. This is the Apostle Paul. He stayed in the desert a long time to get these revelations. And so he says to us that the Holy Spirit wants to give these gifts so we can stay in touch with God so that He can do the work in us and in and through His church. And you know what? Without that, we're not going to do very much for His glory. It's always going to be substandard to what he intended. The scripture says that one has a song. It's what Paul said. One will have a song, one a psalm, and one has a word. Let all things be done decently and in order. I like as Ann Jimenez says, but let everything be done. Let's do some things. Let's have some reality in the church service. And there was a reality today in our worship service. We had a freedom to let the Spirit lead us. There was a reality in the freedom that Tommy felt that he could share a testimony. You know, testimonies are tremendously powerful. And if you don't have testimonies, you don't know whether anything's happening with people or not. All you know is the preacher can either preach or not. And that's pretty risky. How is it then, brethren, when you come together, every one of you hath a psalm, hath a doctrine, hath a revelation, hath an interpretation? Let all things be done unto edifying. Isn't this wonderful? He makes it so clear. When you come together, one will have a psalm, one will have a doctrine, one has a revelation, one has an interpretation of tongues. Let all things be done unto edifying. In other words, however the gifts are flowing in the service, it's got to build up the people and build up the church and build that service for that day. And if it's just a show of one person, then it's being abused. Gifts always have to be plugged in where they really bless and where they really edify and build people up. So Paul doesn't mention at this particular junction most of the nine gifts of the Spirit. He's just talking about how we ought to let the Holy Spirit move through us. But he goes on to say that when one has a message in tongues, it should be interpreted. Now, this has been twisted around to where people think that you can't pray in tongues. But just because they don't understand about tongues, they don't understand about the gifts of the Spirit. Though one of the articles I read said, people are fascinated by this thing about tongues. Maybe that's one reason God did it. It's just sort of a draw. Healing has another kind of power to draw. But speaking in tongues is kind of an amazing thing. The scripture says it's to edify, that is, build up, the one who is speaking in tongues. Now, quiet people who don't speak in tongues are going to miss the building up of their inner man. That's what that means. And so if you have more and more of that, then a church is not very lively. So Paul is instructing you how to be involved in flowing in the gifts. When a message in tongue, if a message comes to the church during the church service, or say in a prayer meeting, someone stands and feels they have a message in tongues, then someone or they should interpret it. If that happens, then it gets it on the level with prophecy. And Paul said, I'd like for you to do that if you have an interpreter, but otherwise I would rather that you prophesy. So a big part of churches have given more, they lean more toward prophesying than tongues with interpretation, but Paul says that the Holy Spirit does give both of these. And I want to clarify some things like that. You are free to pray in tongues and to sing in tongues. By the way, if you study in the book of Acts, the early way of prayer of the church, it was concert praying. You find it over and over again, and they lifted up their voice, that they all prayed together. So from time to time, we all pray together at the same time. From time to time, as this morning, there were instances. Eddie gave us opportunity to sing to the Lord. And this is another, it blesses you. It blesses the atmosphere. This is how we make a place for the Holy Spirit to be among us. So we don't want to just come into a service and have a wonderful worship leader like we do all the singing. We don't want him to do that. We want him to lead us in worshiping the Lord. But the flesh is pretty happy with just letting the worship leader perform. Eddie knows this well, as he's led in many situations. You know, the psalmist said, oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. I've studied through the years two men who have the largest churches in the world. One is Yonggi Cho in Korea, has 1 million in his church. And the other one is Adeboye that has, 1 million come on Friday night to his Holy Ghost service. So I don't know how many people he has. And Adeboye, by the way, I like to study after people that have done something, not just people that want to say something. And so Adeboye says that the Lord showed him, if you want amazing miracles that will astound people, listen to this, if you want amazing miracles that will astound people in your midst, then praise and praise and praise and praise. And he said, and then after that, and he quoted this psalm, praise the Lord with me, get other people to praise the Lord with you. Praise your head off, and then get other people to join you in praising. And this is one of the things that Pastor Jensen was preaching about today. He said, if you don't put something into it when you come to the service, if you're not among those who praise God, and he did a great job of showing the scriptures, then don't expect to take away that blessing that praise is going to bring. So praise is very important. But there's been a reluctance in some places to teach and to learn about how the gifts of the Spirit should flow. Paul particularly says in 1 Corinthians 12, 39 and 40, to covet to prophesy and forbid not to speak in tongues. Forbid not to speak with tongues. Let all things be done decently and in order. That's where he says that. So I just want to take a few minutes this morning. I'm just sort of wanting to stir you, to expose you, to declare and proclaim. This is what we believe. This is what we're looking for, to bring more and more people into this reality. Adeboye I preached in one of their churches in Atlanta one time. And believe it or not, I told them, what you need to do is to get out here in Atlanta and give people what you have. It was very rich there, but I had the sense that they weren't taking it out. And we need this in America. We need this excited, dedicated, committed, real praise and worship that really puts God first. So I felt like that when I preached at that church, I was very thankful to be there, but I saw how you can't just relocate or translocate an experience from one place to another. Those people have to be committed to the reality of that. And their slogan is, our vision is to go to heaven and to take somebody with us. So Paul said there are nine. How many gifts of the Spirit are there? All right? And so first he talks about the gift of utterance. And the gift of utterance, that is speaking, is so very important because God is a speaking God. And God wants us to be speaking people. God is a God who reveals himself. He continually speaks. He continually speaks through the Holy Spirit and his gifts. And this is why, if you ever been in a church and you might say, well, is that church ever dead? Or let's bring it home. You might be in a prayer meeting sometimes and say, well, that prayer meeting was kind of dead. You know why it was kind of dead? It's because nobody was saying anything. And the devil wants people to quit talking in church. Now, please talk at ball games. And please talk at every other worldly thing. But don't talk in church. I've kept people calm for many years. And you can't get on this bandwagon now and start talking. It's going to be a real problem. It will be a real problem when God's people start using their mouths for God's glory. It's really going to be. He continually speaks through the Holy Spirit and his gifts. According to 1 Corinthians 12, there are three gifts of utterance. What are they? Prophecy. What else? Tongues and interpretation of tongues. Prophecy, tongues, and interpretation of tongues. Somebody got the idea and started teaching that this is in the past and this was for the past. We need more than they ever needed back then. We've got greater needs in our culture than they ever would have scratched the surface of. We are a very needy people. We have people going crazy. We have people who have no idea how to think about anything. Someone was telling me yesterday, since we don't know anything to do except to try to establish an image. You know, everybody's about image these days. And churches are set up how to have an image and how to set up your image. And she was telling me that one of these well-known manufacturers has now created, because people want to wear jeans that not just look sort of old and ragged, but they look dirty, like you really are a working man. So that, yeah, they really have dirt on them, and so they've manufactured them so that the dirt stains stay in there, so they just be a little bit uglier looking. And so, but they, here's the problem, they cost $400 a pair. This is why I say we need deliverance. We got perfectly good clothes, and we're so ashamed of being successful that we just want to dumb ourselves down and take everything backwards. That's why I say we really need God. We need the Spirit of truth. I was praying just this morning. I realized I was trying to tell the Lord what to do. And I said, by the way, Lord, Spirit of truth, come into that situation, and then I'll get everything I'm asking you for. Because there was untruth involved in it. He knows everything about everybody. And there are three gifts of power: the gift of faith, gifts of healing, and working of miracles. You see what all could be going on in every church everywhere, but you got to believe it first. You have to teach it. You have to receive it. You have to practice it. You have to embrace it. And the devil wants to take it away from you. And there are three gifts of power: gift of faith, gift of healing, and working of miracles. And there are three gifts of revelation: word of wisdom, word of knowledge, and discerning of spirits. And these all have to do with things we know. You see that? The first one has to do with the things that we say. The second one has to do with the things that we know. And the third has to do with the things we can do. So the Holy Spirit's got the whole thing covered. From time to time, the Holy Spirit will flow one or more of these gifts to reveal a specific purpose that God wants to accomplish. The gifts do not belong to us. They're the gifts of the Spirit, and are operated by the will of the Spirit. 1 Corinthians 12:7 says, "The manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal." The reason the gifts are manifested is so that everyone, or the whole church, can profit or benefit. God doesn't do things the way man does. He has a purpose. Think about this. God, the Holy Spirit, has a purpose in everything He says or does. Now, we waste a lot of energy, don't we? Both talking and doing. But He has a purpose in everything He says or does through us. And this is why it's so valuable that we hear Him and flow with what He wants to do. And Paul particularly encourages the gift of prophecy. And I thank God, I noticed that one of my past sermons was entitled, "We Need the Gift of Prophecy," or "We Need Prophecy in the Church." We need prophecy. The Scripture says it edifies. It's for edification, exhortation, and comfort. Therefore, if you don't have prophecy, that's that much you are going to lose that you would have been built up, exhorted, and comforted. People who don't know they need this, or people don't feel they need it, are the ones that are willing to do without it. But I need it. In 1 Corinthians 14:1 through 5, Paul declares that everyone should desire to prophesy. He goes on to say that he would rather they prophesy than have messages in tongues. But he also says he wants them to speak in tongues if they give interpretation so the church can be edified. The reason is that when one speaks in tongues, he says he edifies himself. But when he prophesies, he edifies others. In reality, very few churches have this experience, mainly because it's not particularly encouraged. Do you know that you get what you preach? And preach, and preach, and preach, and preach. I added the last part for understanding. Paul says that prophecy is for edification, exhortation, and comfort. This means that it builds up the church, gives them teaching and understanding, and brings them comfort, all of which are very important in the spiritual realm because of the battle that the enemy brings against the church. If the church isn't bothering the devil, then they don't need to bother to have the gifts either. Because the gifts will get you out of the things that the devil tries to get you into. For example, if you have a certain kind of a spirit working, say to undermine the leadership of the church or something like this, you can bind that spirit in the power of the Holy Ghost. What if you didn't have that? Well, that spirit would just keep right on working. So you can't be a spiritual church without flowing in the gifts of the Spirit and using His power. The gifts of revelation, the word of wisdom, the word of knowledge, and discerning of spirits. I got Dr. Fuchsia Pickett's definition of the word of knowledge for you. Just listen, because it takes the whole scope of it. A word of knowledge. Now, word of knowledge, you know, is you have been in meetings where, say, Victor is ministering. You may get some of these kinds of things when Mark Sharona comes. He moves in the prophetic, sometimes very strongly. But, for example, a word of knowledge was when Victor haltingly pronounced Kathy Dowell's name. By the way, he did. He said, I see someone, where is Kathy Dowell? That was a word of knowledge. How could Victor have dreamed up a name like Kathy Dowell? Wasn't even right anyway, exactly. Aren't you fascinated that the Holy Spirit can really speak things like this? He can really speak people's names. He can really share things that are going to be happening in their lives. Let me read the definition. It's a supernatural insight that gives Spirit-filled believers specific information. Specific information, not the Lord shows me you're a lovely person. I perceive you're a person who loves God. Well, people do when they're in church, or they pretend to anyway, so that's not great news. A specific information about a person or situation spontaneously revealed to him by the Holy Spirit. It's a mental expression or impression or a picture or vision in which the Holy Spirit discloses some hidden fact or circumstances concerning people, places, or things. One time the Lord gave, Jane looked at a man, this was a long time ago, she looked at a man in the congregation, and the Lord just clearly showed her and spoke to her, this man is living in adultery. And of course she didn't say that, that's not why he said it to her, but it was a fact, and a little bit down the road was dealt with. He gives us information, and a specific information is a word of knowledge. And similarly, a word of wisdom is a spontaneous revelation or wise guidance or knowledge rightly applied. When you have, the word of wisdom tells you what to do with the word that you have, and you know what to do with it. Discerning of spirits is a revelation gift, and I've shared with you recently, I want you to pray. Will you pray about God giving you the discerning of spirits? We need that. I don't want you to be shocked and amazed, for example, when somebody does something strange, when all the time you knew there was something strange about that person. You know what I'm saying? Then I want you to catalog that, okay, the Lord has given me some discernment, I don't know exactly what it means. But then when that person does something, that you say, oh, now I understand what it was that God was saying. He may not give you all the information, but he sort of gives you a red flag. That happens occasionally in discerning of spirits. He doesn't necessarily give you the name of a spirit. It's the name, it can sometimes be simply, shows you how to discern what spirit the person is of. Do he remember that he told his disciples once, you don't know what manner of spirit you are of. And we need to be able to understand when people are operating out of a wrong spirit. Not necessarily to deal with it, but to protect yourself. I don't want us to be ignorant of these things. This is specifically knowledge that relates to identity concerning the spiritual realm. Discerning of spirits identifies the source of a spiritual manifestation, whether it's the Holy Spirit, an evil spirit, or a human spirit. And for example, discerning of spirits is exercised when prophecy is judged. Now, let me just say a little word about this. When people come into our church, we don't just have license here for just anybody can just jump up and prophesy, like when we're having a conference and what have you. Or in general, we've asked people in the church to come to the person who's in charge of the service, the pastor, and say, I have a word, it's about this, is it okay if I bring this now? Why? That's to judge that. And then that way, you don't have a problem with a big mistake. I knew a pastor once, poor guy, he wanted me to come and minister for him and thought maybe I could help him this or that. Some prophet had come in and said he was supposed to expand his sanctuary 5 times or something like that, and he did it. And he had trouble ever after. Because somebody should have judged that was not the word of the Lord. They should at least have spoken a question and taken it back to the drawing board. Now, prophecy is a strange thing. It can be wonderful. It can be so sound. But then there are people that are just braver than others. And some people will just say things. But you don't have that where a church is in order and where you teach about the gifts. Then you can allow the gifts to come. It's almost a mystery, but God takes care of it all. It's really kind of amazing. I don't want to give up prophecy because there are some people that might abuse prophecy. And I'm certain that there have been people that have. And then the final one is gifts of power. That's the gift of faith, the gift of miracles, and the gift of healing. If any generation ever needed the healing gifts, we do. You know, we have a lot more doctors and a lot more medicine and a lot more schools and all that. But we also have a lot more diseases. And carcinogenic things has caused a great increase in the... No way, there's just no way in the world. There we go. There's the fruit of faith, which comes gradually into our lives, and the gift of faith, which God supernaturally brings to enable a believer to release faith, to accomplish. I want to tell you the most outstanding gift of faith I ever heard of. You ready for this? Now, some of you have already heard this story. I think I put it in one of my books, that there was a man in the Marshall Islands, and there was a woman who had died. And this man went, Empty Batuma was his name. I think his name is fascinating, because he raised the dead, so he emptied the tumor, you know. His name actually was Empty Batuma. And so he went over to, it was at a funeral, he went over to this woman in this box. They just had very cheap, sometimes almost like cardboard boxes, sometimes in those situations. He went over to the corpse, he stood and looked a moment and threw back his head and began to laugh. Laugh and laugh until it echoed through the whole building. He laughed and he laughed and he laughed. Everybody else is thinking, now he's lost his mind on top of all of our other problems. And then he turns to the woman and he says, get out of the box. Well, she didn't do anything because she was dead. And so he laughed again and he went over to her again and he pulled her up by her hair, by her head. Pulled her up like this, out of the box. If you're going to see tremendous miracles, you might see something a little uncomfortable for you sometime. And he sat this woman up, and he said, I said, get out of the box. Now, why could he do that? He had a gift of faith sent from God that overcame every reluctance that he would have had, so that it overcame everything normally, naturally, that would have been expected, and brought the whole situation into a heavenly realm where anything can happen. How many of you know God does raise the dead? We know situations. He's done it many times since then. And so this woman sat right up in the box and got out of it. And there were people who, the people jumped out the windows because they were so startled and so amazed. Now, some people in the world today are not even aware that things like this have happened and don't think that anyone could ever raise the dead. But I think there are about 50 that are chronicled in Heidi Baker's ministry. But she says most of them have been raised by the local pastors, not by her. But she said to me one day, kind of apologetically, and now this is Heidi, only Heidi Baker, she's serious. But you know, Sue, I've only raised three, but that's three. I said, I know how you must feel, so disappointed. The rest of us are disappointed because we don't raise anybody. How could that happen? It was a gift of faith. It's a gift of faith. No, you can't. You know, your friend dies. You can't just go down to the funeral home and intervene and say, wait a minute, I've decided to raise him from the dead. No, you can't do that. But if you have a gift of faith, you can step out where you ordinarily cannot step. And wonderful. This is what I love about being in the move, the Charismatic Pentecostal movement. Is you can expect wonderful, exciting things to happen, unexpected things, and things that you really need. Well, on another level, yesterday I had my phone out. I was getting ready to text Jane to see how Jimmy was doing. Honest, this is what I was doing. It's about 3:00 in the afternoon, and I looked up and there stood Jimmy. I was on my back porch. He just decided, he asked Jane to drop by. He wanted to visit with me. He hadn't seen me in a while. And so God had so answered the prayers that the doctors found a way to save that foot and save that leg. I think that's a modern day miracle. It's just beyond what we would have expected or thought or even dreamed. It's wonderful. The gift of working of miracles is literally in the Greek, operations of supernatural powers. Miracle refers to events or actions that seemingly contradict known scientific laws, superseding them due to a supernatural act. But here's something I want you to remember, church. Miracles always bring a revelation of the Father and are signs of His kingdom. They are not just incidental or accidental. They are for a purpose. Always look and see what God is teaching and revealing through that miracle. They are life-changing acts of God that reflect the mind and heart of a God that desires to help people. And the gifts of healing bring supernatural healing. A healing miracle takes the time element away from prayer for healing. If you get a miracle, there's no time involved. Otherwise, you can get healed, but it will take a little time just through healing, through a gift of healing. And in closing, I want to say today that we need to really seriously consider the release of the gifts of the Spirit. These gifts are available, and they're an integral part of our ministry in the power of the Spirit. We need these gifts. They're not add-ons, and they're not luxuries. And they're not just for some people, but just for you. I teach everybody in the church can flow in the gifts of the Spirit. The church has been greatly deprived of power because we had not understood how to operate in the gifts of the Spirit. In our so-so ministry, for example, it's a type of deliverance ministry in which a person is healed of wounds and bondages that are limited or even have destroyed their lives. But we minister to addictions and emotional and mental stress. Many have been set free through identifying and dealing with the cause of these bondages. And the gifts of the Spirit is what enables us to be able to flow in this. And as you minister to people, wherever you go and whoever you talk to, you need the gifts of the Spirit flowing through you. Don't think it's just for church. It's just for church services. We need the gifts. And we need a new paradigm to replace the one that confines the manifestation of the gifts of the Spirit to church meetings. We need to see that God has given the gifts of the Spirit to empower us. He said, you know, if you wait, tarry in Jerusalem, and you shall be my witnesses. One of the ways that we are to be his witnesses is by allowing the gifts of the Spirit to flow through us, allowing his anointing to rest upon us. And I promise you that the more time you spend in prayer, and I taught you last week how to listen to the Holy Spirit, letting the Holy Spirit minister through you, letting him lead you, letting him speak to you. The more time that you spend that way, the more you're going to become acquainted with the Holy Spirit, the more powerful you will become in the living of your life and in ministering to other people. I don't like any time for us to box in. These are the gifts of the Spirit. You know, these three, and these nine, and these have to do this and that. There are some general instructions that Paul gives. Because I think sometimes the people were having real free-for-alls by the way he talks. It sounds like everybody was jumping in tongues, jumping up, speaking in tongues at one time, and all these kinds of things. But here's the important thing for us to know. Martin Luther, one of his songs, a line in it says, "The Spirit and the gifts are ours." You know what the song is? A mighty fortress is our God. And it's no wonder we have such weak churches. The mighty fortress has to be kept mighty through the Spirit and the gift being ours. Martin Luther understood this, and we've got to understand this. We need the Holy Ghost. We need the gifts of the Spirit. I want us to set ourselves to be those who allow, we're sensitive to the Holy Spirit, and we allow him to flow through us. Well, let's just stand in his presence a moment, and I want to pray for you today. I'm looking for a gift of faith to believe that we can finally come out of the rain into the sunshine. Just kidding. I'm thankful for the rain because we need that too. But I'm looking forward to a wonderful summer. That we're going to have great times of